It is so good tonight to have Buddy Fitzgerald with us and good to get to meet all of his children. I think the last time Joseph was here, but I don't believe we had the opportunity to meet the other two. At least I didn't. I don't think I was here the last time that you were present with us, but we're glad that they're able to be with us tonight. Brother Buddy, come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart tonight concerning your ministry. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening. All right, great. We are very happy to be here, and my wife sends her greetings. As Pastor mentioned, she is in Indianapolis doing an EMT class. She has been helping with medicine for a long time, and she goes down to the hospital regularly as sort of a go-between. Whenever ladies in our ministry or ladies who are even connected with us in any way are going for a lot of times to have a baby, she'll go down to the hospital and make sure they're well taken care of and just kind of an advocate, I guess you could say. And she knows enough about medicine that she is able to help them. But she wanted to get some more training. And so she's there in Indianapolis getting EMT certified. And we think that'll be a help for us, perhaps even open doors for us in the future as we want to go upriver and work with those that are unreached. And so we think this will be one more thing to add to the resume that maybe will be something the Lord would use in the future. I'm not sure exactly how long ago it was we were here last. It's been a while, but again, glad to be here. I brought my navigators with me and Princess, and I'll show you some pictures of them navigating with us on the river in a few minutes, but glad to have them with me, and they are a lot of fun, really. my wife, she's gone for 2 weeks, and she was going to send them to be with her sister, and I said, well, you know, they are my kids, and I kind of like them. So anyway, I get them for half the time anyway, so I worked out a deal. So I wanted to share with you some, just really report on what God is doing, share with you some pictures tonight. Before we get to the pictures, I wanted to share briefly with you something that we've been talking with our folks in Peru about quite a lot. And there's a real reason for this. I think you all are probably aware, at least anecdotally, maybe you've even read statistics about this, but they say that finishing high school, the young people often leave the church and never return. You'll probably have seen that before. They say 60 to 80% just kind of across the board, when they finish high school, they'll leave and never come back. And that is a very sad statistic. And if you would also think about the American church as a whole, I think we would all have to agree that really the American church in most cases is not doing a great job of fulfilling the Great Commission. I don't know if you'd agree with that statement, but if you think about this is the Great Commission that God has given us. Won't preach this message tonight, but I've got another one, and I call it His Christ's last command should be our first priority, and I truly believe that's the case. However, one of the keys to overcoming this issue, both those issues really, the not fulfilling the Great Commission and a key to seeing our young people continue in the Lord, is something that I think we can find here in Ephesians 4. And if you want to look with me there, we'll just look briefly at this passage before we get going into the photos, and I think you'll understand why a little bit better in a moment. So Ephesians 4, just want to read two verses tonight. Ephesians 4, and I'm just going to read verses 11 and 12. So follow along with me if you would as you read God's Word. It says, "And He," that is talking about Jesus Christ, "and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." What exactly does this mean? What is this talking about? Well, one fella titled the message preached on this passage, he called it "The Comma That Left the Church in a Coma." Kind of a funny title, huh? The comma that left the church in a coma. And the King James Bible is a wonderful translation. It's been used by God for many years in many people's lives. But in this case, it could be a little bit confusing. Notice with me, again, we'll read just verse 12 this time, and we're going to notice specifically the commas. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so, you notice those two commas in there. I am not a grammarian. I don't know if we have any grammarian. Do we have any grammar teachers here? Any English teachers? Okay, great. Well, I hope I'm saying this right, okay? But I think we would all agree that commas are important. Isn't that true? Commas are pretty important. We have a running joke in our house. Sometimes my wife or my mom will say about 6 o'clock in the evening, they'll call everyone and they'll say, let's eat kids! You see, commas are important, right? Well, in this case, we see a couple of these commas, and the issue is this. It sounds like what the text is saying is God's given these leaders in verse 11 to do these three things in verse 12. And you see why you could come to that conclusion? It looks like here's the leaders, and here's the list of three things, three different things. They're separated by commas in verse 12. Looks like it's saying the leaders are supposed to perfect the saints, do the work of the ministry, and edify the body. However, that is exactly the opposite of what God wants us to understand from this text. There are a lot of myths about ministry. One of them is this. A lot of times we think of the church as lay people, and then we say, and we have minister so-and-so down at our church. And folks, that is a myth. God doesn't want there to be a minister. There's a phrase that's gone around. You may have heard it before. It goes like this. Every member a minister. Every member a minister. Every single one of us, as believers, as members of this body or any church body, we are all supposed to be ministering. That's what really God is saying here, because what we should understand from this text is not that God has put leaders to do these three jobs. Really, what we could say, or another way to translate verse 12 would be like this. It would be that God has given leaders to perfect the saints so that they would do the work of the ministry. Does that make sense? That's really what God is trying to get across here. God is not saying, all right, I put one man and he has to do all of this. What he is saying is God has given leaders to perfect the saints. Now we've got another issue. Because if you're like me, you're going to raise your hand and say, wait a minute, I'm not perfect yet. Is pastor failing? No, the word perfect can be misleading. The word perfect could also be translated mature or equip or train. And so if you read it that way, you can say for the maturing of the saints so that all of us saints do the work of the ministry. You see, another myth in ministry is this. A lot of times we think that, you know, once I reach a certain level, like once I get to be up here spiritually, then I'll begin ministering, right? Like once I get to be really, really, you know, really like a seminarian, like right, like a college grad, like really mature, then I can begin ministering. And folks, I think we should understand that we're not supposed to minister after we mature. We are supposed to, and really God's design is that we would mature as we minister. In fact, we could even go further than that, and I think we could say that we don't mature unless we minister. Imagine a guy saying, you know what? I really want to get strong. I want to get big muscles. You know, and so I have a solution, the gym. As soon as I get big muscles, then I'm going to start going to the gym. It's not going to work very well, is it? You see, he's got to do the work in order to get to that maturity, right? Those big muscles that he wants. It's kind of the same in the spiritual life. We're not going to mature unless we're ministering. You say, why is this so important? Well, it's really important because verse 12 tells us the purpose of all this is so that the entire body would be built up. And it continues on verse 13. There's more to explain. We're not going to go into that this evening. But really, this verse here, 11 and 12, these two verses have just captured my mind. And it's been something that we've been talking about a lot with our church body. Because the point of a missionary is really this. Missionaries are all designed by God to go and work themselves out of a job. And that's what we as missionaries are supposed to do. We're supposed to work ourselves out of a job. In fact, we need to be thinking about what's my goal for a few years from now. I need to be a national pastor here. And so if I think backwards from that, what are the steps I need to take in order to make it get there? And so we are trying to teach our folks that every member is supposed to be a minister. And that God has given pastors and leaders and these others mentioned in verse 11 to prepare, mature the saints, train the saints, raise up the saints, so that we would all do the work of the ministry. You know, one of the myths of ministry is that a lot of times we think of, well, the pastor is supposed to do it all because that's why he gets paid, right? We pay him to do all this ministry stuff. And folks, again, it could not be further from the truth. Because if you have that mindset that the pastor is paid so that he does all the ministry stuff and I'm just a layperson who works and supports the church, you are missing out on a huge bundle of joy that God wants you to receive. I mean, there is amazing joy in doing the work of the ministry. And if you say, no, ministry is for the pastor, then you're just kind of bypassing all that God has for you. We have in our area of the jungle a lot of multi-level marketing type things. It seems strange, right? We actually live in a city in the middle of the jungle. It's like a concrete island in the middle of the jungle. And it's about 80,000 people is our town. And so there's a lot of Herbalife. I think there's Herbalife here in the U.S., but it's a lot more common down where we are. And so you imagine you've got a couple, a man and woman, and they go to this Herbalife meeting in our area. I think they're on Saturday nights. I've never been to one, but we have folks in our ministry who go on Saturday nights. And imagine after the meeting, the man says to his wife, well, I sure am glad that's done. And she goes, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, you know, I mean, I'm signed up. I'm a member of Herbalife and all this stuff. I pay my dues and these other things. But I'm just so glad to have that meeting over and done with. I don't have to think about Herbalife till next week. And she would say, no. We signed up with them and we go to the meetings to get trained and prepared and excited and get knowledge about the product so that we can go out and offer them better, right? That's the point of the meeting. But unfortunately, folks, a lot of times we think about church kind of that way, right? Well, I went to my hour-long meeting, I did my dues, and thankfully I don't really have to think about that till next week. You see what I'm saying, folks? Obviously, church is not about selling things, and church is not just about giving the gospel out to people, but definitely that's one of the things we're supposed to be doing here. That's what the text is about. God has given the leaders to prepare, mature, train, equip the saints, that's all of us, so that we all go out and do the work of the ministry. So we should think of this like a equipping time, a training meeting, so that then we can really get busy with the ministry of the church. Another way, you've probably seen this before or heard it, but sometimes churches will have a sign over the door. They say, you're now entering the mission field, right? Well, anyway, this is some of the stuff that we've been talking about with our folks a lot over the last couple of years, and it's been really exciting to see some of the people really getting this.
We appreciate so much the work that God has given to Buddy and Lauren. I remember, has it been 11 years ago, the first time you came here? And young couple, and a lot of excitement and energy, and they have faced a lot of battles through the years, but God has used them in a remarkable way to carve out a niche there in the jungle and be able to communicate the message of the gospel. It's thrilling to my heart to see all those children and see all those families and individuals there that 11 years ago didn't have a gospel witness. And God has used this couple and their children to carve out a pioneer work there to communicate the message of the gospel. God is still at work, and we thank the Lord for that, and we want to be there to support you. And please be assured of our prayers. Every time we get our prayer letter, we share it with the folks. On the last Wednesday of the month, we share the prayer letters and update everyone. And thank the Lord, and we pray that Lauren does well on her EMT training. And I know that y'all are excited to get back together again and be a couple. All right, let's stand together as we close in prayer. Buddy will be out in the hallway to answer any additional questions that you may have. Make sure you pick up a prayer card. If you don't get their newsletter, make sure that you sign up, email, so you can receive that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the good work that you are doing there in Peru through the ministry of Buddy and Lauren Fitzgerald. I thank you, Father, for their willingness to go. And I pray that you would use this example in the hearts and lives of our young people and those that may be open and receptive to going. There are places all over this world that need a gospel witness, and that includes our own neighborhoods. Help us, Father, to be faithful in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would use the testimony of Buddy and Lauren to help those that may be right on the edge of going, that they would be willing to be sent wherever you would have them to go. I pray, Father, that you might bless them. I pray that you continue to supply them with all that they need. And we pray especially about this need for this property. Lord, $220,000 seems like a huge amount to us. But to you, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, touching the hearts and lives of individuals that are willing to give, that can be taken care of. And we ask, Father, for you to undertake and show yourself powerful in their behalf to provide them with this property that's needed for ministry. We pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts, Lord, that we can do what we can to help with that as well. We ask now your blessing, Father, upon the Fitzgeralds and upon this fellowship. And we pray that you'd watch over us, help us to be faithful witnesses for thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.